welcome each and every one of you that are here with us this morning to Sandusky United Methodist Church, and especially anyone that is visiting with us today. To start off, do we have any prayer concerns? I'm sure we do. Oh, no speakers.
While Aaron's getting the mic, let me say something. I've had some health issues lately, and I was in the hospital there for a while, and I got to tell you, there ain't nobody who can beat the Wednesday morning McDonald's coffee group. Bev came home a couple weeks ago and she said, "We decided that you have." And they were 100% right. So I'm going to contact all the radio news stations, The View and The Talk and all that, and say they need to come to Sandusky and interview the Sandusky women, because they know what's going on in the world. And I thank everybody for your concerns, and I'm feeling much better and great to be back here. And I want to embarrass one other person and tell you that if you haven't noticed, Margaret and her family are back with us this morning. Wonderful.
I just want to update you on our niece, Ashton. She's over in Wisconsin for one of her normal routine checkups with her team there, but they did find some complications with her GI tract, which we've known she's had issues. But they did find some complications, and they're deciding whether they're going to remove a portion of her digestive tract. So prayers for her continued. She's being a strong little tyke over there, but she's just a toughie, so she's going through a lot. And also, thank you for your prayers for Dad. He's over at VA in the rehab. He's supposed to come home Wednesday, but we're actually asking for prayers that they will okay him and let him stay. He's doing great there. His spirits are great. He's really proud of himself. The girls went and watched him do a workout yesterday. He's doing good, and if we can keep him in there for some more time to get really built up, if you could just pray for his continued strength and rehabilitation.
Thank you, Aaron. Anyone else? Prayer concerns or thanksgivings? Tom and Bobby.
Some of you may remember Jay Williams. He used to sing here at the church, and he has now been diagnosed with bladder cancer. So we need to keep him in our prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Anyone else for prayer concerns or thanksgivings? I have a Thanksgiving. I had a phone call Friday night, and I returned a phone call yesterday. It was to Pastor Colin Stover. We were on the phone an hour and 40 minutes. And he is doing much better. Annette is down some, but Pastor Colin is doing much, much better, improving. Okay, anyone else? Prayers or concerns? How about any announcements? No announcements? Well, I have some. Let's see. I'd like to thank Marion Schiller for the board work that she did on the bulletin board down at Wesley Hall. She does a fine job. It's something she does all on her own. We still have Lenten devotionals in the back, and also the upper rooms back there, and there's many of those, so please take one as you leave today. And just a reminder, the spring garage sale is just around the corner. Notice that word spring? It is just around the corner. It'll be held Thursday and Friday, April 5th and 6th. Donations will be accepted starting Monday, April 2nd through Wednesday. But we need to start thinking now about what we're going to donate. And all those, the money that they get for that all goes to the youth camp fund. And all the children really enjoy camp, anyone that gets to go. Any other announcements? Okay, do we have any birthdays for this week? Hi, Rick.
Hi. Miss Taylor next Sunday will be 9 years old.
Well, hi, Taylor. Any other birthdays? Hi, Tammy.
44.
Oh, a child. I know there's one over there. You want to raise your hand, Donna? It's not this week? The 11th. So, okay. It's coming next week. Okay, can we sing Happy Birthday? How about anniversaries? Any anniversaries this week?
I have a joyous anniversary. My husband and I have been married 65 years, the 7th of March.
65 years. Congratulations. Any other anniversaries? Well, let's see. Happy anniversary. I will now turn it over to our choir for the introit. Thank you. We will now have our opening prayer for this service. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer thanking you for this day and the joyous opportunity to gather together in your name to worship you. We ask for your blessing upon this service and all that are here. We ask you to help us open our hearts and minds to grasp onto your word for a better understanding and a relationship with you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, if you would, please stand. We'll sing the hymn, To God Be the Glory, on page 98.
Thank you.
seated. Our next hymn is on page 707, the Hymn of Promise. Children's message. Any children out there, could you please come up? I'm sure Brother Russ has a prize somewhere. None today?
No prizes today. We're just going to talk. Hi. Look at all the kids. Holy man, where'd they all come from? This is wonderful. Well, I want you to know that a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Matt came up here and he started talking about covenants. Pastor Matt came up and started talking about covenants. You weren't here? Okay, well, he did that. And he asked some of you what God's covenant meant and what the sign of the covenant was. And someone, and I'm not sure who it was, said it was the rainbow. And so the rainbow is the sign of God's covenant that he made with people. And the covenant, that covenant was that he was never going to flood the earth again. The earth was never going to be destroyed. And so we have this beautiful rainbow that we see sometimes. And what I want to talk to you guys about this morning is the colors that we have in the rainbow. Not only are the colors that we have in the rainbow, we see them all over. So I want to start off, and go right down the list, and start with the first color of the rainbow, which is red. So what else did God make besides the rainbow that is red? What? Say what? Rugs? Yes. What else? What did he make? What did God make that's red? Anybody know? I know it's there.
Shirts.
What else? Cherries. Apples.
What?
Sometimes the sky is red, especially when the sun sets. So we have red from the rainbow all over. Then we have orange. What else did God make that's orange? What?
Oranges.
How hard could that one be? We have oranges. What else do we have that's orange? Is the sun sometimes kind of orangey? Is the sunset sometimes kind of orangey? And don't the leaves sometimes turn a little orange in the fall? All things, lots of things are orange.
When I said red, I could have said leaves.
You could have said red leaves. Yes, you could have. Okay, so we have red, orange, and now we have yellow. What did God make that's yellow?
The sun.
The sun. What else? What else is yellow?
Ooh,
what is it?
She said lemons.
Lemons. Oh, this is so easy. Great. We just have to think about it a little bit, right? What else is yellow?
Apples.
We have red apples, green apples, yellow apples. Do you have something else that's yellow?
Flowers.
Daffodils. Spring. So we have red, orange, yellow. We have green. What's green?
Everyone
should know that it is what?
Apple.
Green apples? Green grass. It's as green as grass. What else is green?
Trees.
All these colors make the world so beautiful because they're all different and they all add to it. Can you,
yeah,
and broccoli. Can you imagine what the world would look like if everything in it, in nature, was red or green or just one color? It's all the mixed up colors that make it work. Broccoli does look like baby trees, doesn't it? They're much smaller, yeah. Okay, red, orange, yellow, green. Blue sky, blue, what else is blue?
What?
Blue flowers?
Sometimes if there's light on the water,
the lake can be as blue can be. And just imagine that there's no color in the world, that everything is one color. Well, God didn't make it that way. He made all kinds of colors. And we're going to go from blue, and we're going to go to indigo and violet, but we're going to call that purple. Okay? What's purple? Plums.
Flowers.
Crayons. Purple mountains, majesty. So when God created the world, and he created all these beautiful things, he created the colors to go along with them, and the light in the world would be so dull. So when we thank God for everything that he's done for us, we also need to thank him for providing this world. And then every once in a while, even though all these colors exist, every once in a while, on top of everything else, he makes the rainbow. So will you? That's what the colors came from. Or they could just be white. Absolutely. Everything would be just the same. That would not be good. Look what you guys, all the colors you're wearing on your clothing today. It's really great. It helps.
Then you would just like white if it is a color like
purple. Yeah, and we'd get bored with it, wouldn't we? Yeah. And it would be boring because it's all the same, right? Yeah. Okay, so will you put your hands in your prayer positions and repeat the prayer after me this morning? And we say, Dear God, thank you for putting our world in beautiful colors. Thank you for creating us and loving us and providing the earth for us to live on. We ask you to help us take good care of your world. Amen. And we have a flag. Do we have a colorful flag? We don't have a flag. So somebody's just going first today? Okay. Thanks for coming up.
Off to Sunday school. On page 881 is the Apostles' Creed, and I would like to recite that together with all of us. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, Okay. Time for the Lord's Prayer.
Got it. I got it. Would you please join with us this morning in the spirit of prayer? Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have again today to come together before you and worship you and give you praise for the beauty of this day, the promise of spring, the warmth of the sunshine, and the fellowship that we share here together as a congregation. We know, Lord, that some of us have concerns that we need to raise before you, and we ask that we pray together as a church family for the Frederick family and ask that you be with them and pray, Lord, that you will bring peace and comfort to them. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to reach down and bless each of us in our time of need and be with us when it is time for us to go on into the next life. We continue to pray also, Lord, for the Huber family and for Dan and his recovery. And we rejoice in the news that he is feeling better and getting stronger and pray for his recovery to continue. And we pray also, Lord, for a continued recovery for Ashton as she struggles to regain her health and get her life back. We also pray, Lord, for the person in the community who is recovering from or has been diagnosed with a cancer diagnosis. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with this person. And we know also, Lord, that it's a difficult time, and we ask that you reach down and provide peace and comfort and strength. We pray also, Lord, for the people of this community, the people of this church, and we ask that you help us make a difference in the world that we live in and make a difference in places where we can make a difference, which is right here in our own community and in our own congregation. We pray all these things in your name, Lord, and we ask that you all join together now as we recite the prayer you taught your disciples so long ago. Our Father, our choir will now sing. Linda, do you have a... Nope. Okay.
Thank you.
As the choir finds their seats, just let me say, it is really a privilege to stand up here this morning. There's no place like home, and this is home. This is our church home, and we all need to be reminded of that, I think, every once in a while. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 8, verses 13. It goes through verses 13 through 17, not 19. God said, "This is a sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." It was really kind of ironic because I was taken back a little bit when Matt started the series of the covenant, because I was thinking about that, and I have already talked a little bit in other areas about God and the sign of the covenant and the rainbow. And it just kind of fit in and fell into place. And I'm not saying this to offend anyone, but I thought, you know, sometimes it's necessary to step on toes, my own even, because we get too comfortable in our own little worlds, and we get too comfortable in the way things are. And sometimes it's necessary to evaluate an entire situation and not just in the situation from, you know, one particular point of view. So I don't mean to offend anybody, but I want to apologize ahead of time if I say something that you think, okay, so we'll try it and see where it goes. I'm sure that everybody here this morning has heard the adage, everybody's heard this, into each life some rain must fall. And we all know that. Then that means that we can agree that life here on earth is far from perfect. In fact, for some of us in a rural farming community such as this one is, rain is a good thing. It's essential for our survival and for our continued well-being. I can distinctly remember hearing my peers, I can hear myself saying how desperate we were for rain. Boy, we really do need rain. And then, in seemingly no time flat, it's time for the rain to stop. We've had enough. We don't need any more right now. The weather and the rain are often a key part of our individual and group prayers. And I hope you're in agreement with me on this one, because if you're not, this could be a very long, long morning for you. Let's also consider, before I go farther than this, that the rain that falls into our lives can often be symbolic of other problems and other situations in our lives that are not exactly going the way we want them to go or how we had planned them to go. Unforeseen economic or family problems come to mind. Health issues, let me tell you about that one. Or a fender bender with a whitetail crossing the road in front of you. Putting it and your car out of commission come to mind as examples. Too much rain in one's life can come in a variety of ways. But another thing that I have also learned through this life journey is that there's always something, no matter how out of control life gets, there is this common thread that runs concurrent to any problem that any of us have ever had to face. That is, we have never, ever stopped or ceased praying for that elusive rainbow that comes only after the storm. Symbolic or not, that rainbow provides welcome comfort. It brings relief. It brings peace. It brings light in darkness to a life that has been uprooted by some other unforeseen and often uncontrollable circumstance. That elusive pot of gold, that solution or that remedy to resolve whatever the issue might be, it's out there somewhere, maybe over the rainbow, at the end of the rainbow, as a light at the end of the tunnel, or maybe as an answer to prayer. I want to tell you a little story that happened to Bev and me one day last summer that has, in part, led to this particular message this morning. We were driving home from a visit to our son in Kalamazoo, going east on I-69, somewhere between the Emily City and Yale exits, when we drove into quite a rainstorm, mixed with some scattered sunshine, that caused us quite a bit of concern. But we both commented that there had to be a rainbow out there somewhere in all that messed up weather. And we searched the sky for that which we both wanted to see. However, no rainbow appeared. And the truth is, we were more than a little disappointed. We wanted, we expected to see that rainbow, and it wasn't there. Later that evening, after we safely arrived home, and of course checking out Facebook, we discovered that two of our friends in the Sandusky area each posted a beautiful picture of a giant rainbow that we were not fortunate enough to have seen firsthand. Another adage, a picture is worth a thousand words, comes to mind. We were excited and comforted by the pictures of what we didn't actually get to see firsthand. But more important, that rainbow that we knew had to be there somewhere really was. And there's one more, and I promise you, this is my last personal rainbow story to tell you this morning. But a few years ago, on a Monday night, as we were sitting in Linda's living room in the midst of a Bible study lesson, I glanced to my left out the picture window, and out there I could see the arc of a beautiful rainbow as it touched the ground. I was in a position where I could see it, and most of the other people couldn't. So, my dilemma, should I say something or not? Well, I said something to the effect of, sorry to interrupt, but there's a rainbow right outside of that window. And I know the majority, I think probably even all of the 10 people or so who were in the room immediately got up and went, looked out the window to see that rainbow. I was really glad I called their attention to it. There's something special about seeing that rainbow, truly a gift of God. So what is it and why is it that something as simple or as complicated as a rainbow can capture our attention in the manner that it does? And why, as one classic song asks, are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Even frogs want to know. Nobody sings that like Kermit. These are really just rhetorical questions for you to think about, because I already know the answer. Rainbows are God's creations. It's as simple as that. Well, how do I know? Well, for starters, I challenge you to give me the names of any people you know who have ever created a genuine, honest-to-goodness rainbow. And I'm not talking about some laboratory creative scientific experiment. I'm talking about an authentic, for real rainbow, like the one Bev and I saw in those pictures, or the one our Bible study witnessed that night, or any that you personally have seen at any time or another. And for another reason, the Bible tells me so. Let me take you back to a journey that began thousands of years ago and yet is still in existence to this very day. God made the covenant with the rainbow as the token after the waters of the flood receded and Noah and his family exited the ark. God said, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all creatures of every kind on earth. This excerpt was taken from the book of Genesis, as you know, the first book of the Bible, chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. God went on to say, not only God made this promise signified by the rainbow, not only to mankind, but also in Genesis chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, every living creature, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all came out of the ark, every living creature on the earth. So this covenant made way back when is perpetual, enduring to all generations. And that includes you sitting here this morning. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth and everything on it. And the ultimate sign of all this was that rainbow, God's unconditional promise, his word. Upset and disturbed with the people as he had been, the right interpretation seems to be that God took the rainbow, which had been to that point nothing more than a beautiful object shining in the heavens when the sun's rays fall on falling rain, but he consecrated it as the sign of his love and the witness of his promise. And even though the Bible tells us of a second covenant, and that came to life in the New Testament, this covenant also lives on. Why are there so many songs written about rainbows? That's really not a difficult question to answer. I want to next take you to the book of Ezekiel and our historic journey through time. Ezekiel was a prophet as well as a priest who lived in a politically and spiritually corrupt kingdom. Whoa, it's a good thing we've never had to experience that again. The people of the time refused to heed all the prophet's reminders about the curses and blessings as promised by God in the Mosaic covenant. Ezekiel prophesied that catastrophe and captivity would come for Judah and Jerusalem. Yet he also had a message from God concerning eventual restoration and renewal based on God's faithfulness to the promises of all the covenants made with his people since the covenant he had made with Abraham. This scripture is taken from Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire. On the likeness of the throne was the likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The Spirit of God appeared in the form of a human. That reference, or that prophecy, is a little bit more than that, isn't it? It's more familiar to us than just that. Ezekiel's response was to fall down and worship in submission. In fact, all believers should recognize God's great glory and fall in humble submission before him, even you and me. And still, never let us forget that the glory of the Lord was highlighted by the appearance of that rainbow. So I ask you to join me in our biblical journey as we now head to the final book of the Bible, that of course being Revelation, particularly chapter 10, verse 1. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. My sources tell me that the identity of this angel is uncertain, but it is known that this happened during the time of tribulation, another time of great darkness. It is significant because once again, during a time of great uncertainty, a time of great turmoil, a rainbow appeared as that source of light in this great darkness. So I ask you, was that pure coincidence? I have my doubts. And by the way, did you notice that a rainbow appears in both the first and the last books of the Bible? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So for me, and I hope also for you, the rainbow is much more than just a pattern of lights in the sky. It is true that the sun makes rainbows when the sunlight passes through raindrops, and the raindrops, in turn, act like tiny prisms. They bend the different colors in white light so that the light spreads out into a band of colors that is reflected back to the earth. Roy G. Biv is created, and the kids knew that. They knew the order of the colors: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. It's been that way for thousands and thousands of years, yet we still naturally delight in the appearance of that rainbow. There is something awe-inspiring with the appearance after that rainbow in the storm. It is good and it is right for us to rejoice in that rainbow as a well-ordained symbol of God's faithfulness and his mercy, his covenant with you. So, can we all agree that the rainbow has become a symbolic sign of the light at the end of the storm? That's really not a difficult concept to understand. Light is good. We would all rather live in the light than in the fear of the darkness. Listen to these words taken from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us all from sin. Jesus demonstrated what true love is by coming into our world and giving his life for us. And are we not, as Christians, supposed to live our lives the way that Jesus taught and lived? Let me look at this one other way. Have you ever heard some people say that they don't watch the news anymore because it's too depressing? Isn't that the same as saying that our world has become a dark, foreboding place, maybe even evil? And if this is true, why would that be? Well, to be openly honest, I don't think we have to look far beyond ourselves to find the answer to that question. Too many of us, and I consider myself in that group, too many of us, Christians, have become so wrapped up in ourselves and our own individual world that we have truly forgotten what life as a Christian is supposed to be. We are so quick to ask God to forgive us our trespasses, but we ignore the remainder and the most important thought of that part, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Isn't that a novel idea? Kind of changes the whole thought process, doesn't it? And hear these words, written in red, taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And let me remind you, these aren't my words. I took them right out of the Bible. The New King James Version. And I hope they make you just a little bit uncomfortable. When you get right down to the nitty-gritty, it is obvious that saying you are a Christian and living the life of a Christian are not at all the same thing. And I ask you to give me the time to pass on to you a very personal experience that I am still learning. It's all part of my own attitude adjustment lifestyle. And even though I'd like to be able to say that I've already learned this, I have to be honest and say that I've not fully learned it yet. I'm a work in progress. What I have come to realize is that I need to become less interested in how other people are living their lives and concentrate more on how to live my own. It's so easy to pick and choose what parts of the Bible I want to follow. Fortunately, not unfortunately, fortunately, that's not how it works. None of us gets to pick and choose how we should follow Jesus. None of us will get to call character witnesses to speak on our behalf when we stand at the pearly gates. Our story will already have been told. Our lives are our witness. How comfortable does that make you feel? So I want to go back one more time to our friend the rainbow, to that darkness that we have allowed to permeate our world. And I challenge you, as I challenge myself, to be more Christ-like in the way we are living our lives. And I suggest that you accept this challenge in the way that will make you a better disciple for Christ. You know your weaknesses better than anyone else, except God. I ask you to take it upon yourself to become a light, a beacon of hope, a sign of God's love, a rainbow amidst the storms of someone else's life. I ask you to be a positive influence in the life of this church family. I challenge you to truly walk in the light of Christ. That means there isn't a person in this sanctuary right now, myself included, who won't have to change something about his or her life if he or she truly wants to strive to be more Christ-like. Think back a few months ago and recall that we learned that the Sunday school kids were going to learn a new verse every month. Good idea, right? Now think about this. How about we, as a congregation, learn and follow just one? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and loving to each other. Forgive each other, the same as God forgave you through Christ. It's written on the wall in Wesley Hall downstairs. Evidently, it was important enough and meaningful enough for someone, I think maybe the women's group, to be put on display for all of us to see on a regular basis. Key words in that verse: kind, loving, and forgiving. I've done some serious thinking about this since last Thursday's hospital visit. From the first person we saw, the woman who greeted us and directed us to where we needed to go at 6:30 in the morning, she didn't just point. To the nurse who filled my ice pack to help make the ride home more comfortable, we, Bev and I, were treated with kindness and with care. I can't begin to tell you, because I don't know, how many nurses, interns, anesthesiologists came into my room and introduced themselves to me and let me know they were part of the team that would be taking care of me. Many of them I never saw again, because I was out of it. But each of them was that rainbow that brought comfort to the storm, to the unknown that was lying ahead. I know you cynics out there, I can see it, I know you cynics out there are telling yourselves, I should wise up. These people were just doing their jobs, and they wanted a good evaluation. Maybe so. But weren't they doing what the scripture has called all of us to do? Aren't we all going to be evaluated and rewarded one day for the way we treat others? John chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, also written in red, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Did you catch that? You're not all my disciples. You're my disciples if you love one another. Hear these words from Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven times. Be kind, loving, and forgiving. So I suggest that we all try to better ourselves by adopting this one verse as our personal and congregational covenant. And I don't mean just reading or memorizing the words. I mean going out into the world and spreading the good news, not the depressing TV stuff. I mean living these words, using them as your light every time you enter or leave the building. What better time than right now for each of us to renew our own personal covenant with God? What better time is there for you to improve, or in some cases even establish, your own connection to God? Because somewhere, over the rainbow, way up high,
thank you, Russ, for that wonderful message. It gives each and every one of us something to really think about. On page 607, the covenant prayer and was lay in tradition. Let us read this together and take heart to all the words. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to do what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Could the ushers please come forward?
Lord, we accept these gifts and we ask that they be put to good service in serving you in this community and in this world. We bless those who gave the gifts, Lord, and we ask that your continued blessing shine upon this congregation and this community. Amen. And our closing hymn is number 419, I Am Thine, O Lord.
Thank you.
Prairie Go that we're going downstairs and celebrate the March birthdays. Everybody is invited to stay, even if you didn't bring anything. I know there's lots of food down there. So if you can stay, do that. And we give the blessing and the benediction before we go. Lord, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive. We thank you for the hands that prepared it. And rejoice, Lord, in the celebration of another milestone, another birthday for the people of this congregation who celebrate their birthdays in March. We ask your blessings upon them, and we ask also the blessings on everyone. We say, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.